I got a little scratchy throat here, so hold on.
Welcome back to a special presentation of In the Money Media. Nahu Mikey P, Mike Probosi, subbing in for PTF. And we have a holiday show for tomorrow, and it's Santa Anita's card for tomorrow, Memorial Day. They have a huge day, three big stakes. And to bring in somebody who's been frequently guesting with me recently, if you're listening to the Plus shows, you're getting a lot of Mike and Justin Christine. So, Justin, welcome back. We're actually on the free feed for this.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me back. This has been really fun. Looking forward to it. We have a pretty good sequence, three stakes races and a loaded maiden race. So I'm excited to dig in, see if we can connect the dots here on something.
And we're looking to get a look at late pick four on Monday for Memorial Day. And Monday at Santa Anita has another contest, and it's the Gold Cup Challenge. So don't miss another amazing opportunity from ExpressBet with the Gold Cup Challenge on Monday, May the 27th. Your $1,500 entry gets you a $1,000 bankroll and $500 to the prize pool, including NHC seats for prizes, BCBC seats, a Pegasus World Cup betting challenge seat, as well as cash prizes. So you can pay online at ExpressBet or in person at Santa Anita Park. For more information to sign up, go to www.expressbet.com. All right, now that that's out of the way and we pay some bills, late pick four on Monday starts in race number 8. And it's nice to get these main special weights on big days. I think that a lot of connections point for these bigger days to unveil some of their horses. We've got some first-timers here in race number 8. Justin, what did you think going 6 to start out the sequence?
Well, we should start by mentioning Eagle's Flight, who is the Sadler-trained half-2 flight line. by all accounts, he's working up a storm. So you gotta pay attention to him. I'm glad they put this as the first leg of the pick four, because you know you can sort of check the board a little bit, especially in California, you know, that a lot of times they'll run to their workouts, and there's a lot of workout information everywhere now, but Southern California, in my mind, has always been the king of workout steam. So I advise everybody to pay attention to the board. Yeah, so, I think you have to use Eagle's Flight. It's a 2-1 morning line. John White, who is super sharp morning line maker, usually has a good handle on these first-time starters. So he's a must-use. And then, you know, you have to use, I'm going to use as an A also, Santorina, who is the Mark Glatt trained colt that has run into some beasts, you know, comes out of that first start of his life. He was in against Vallejos in that hot maiden race. You know, then he came back and ran against Ball Don't Lie. He was four clear of third. And then he ran into a Baffert horse when he was 60 cents on the dollar. and he was clear 2.5 of third in that race. So, you know, he's a must-use. I don't totally trust him, but, you know, his figures are such that, you know, if the horse down on the inside, Eagle's Flight, doesn't fire, it, you know, and from that inside post, that can be a little tricky for a first-time starter. He's certainly the one that is most likely to win. And so I'll use those two as A's. I'm also going to use Tour Player from Baffert as an A. He's been working, before his last race, he was working with Muth and holding his own with Muth. And it seems like out of that mile and an eighth turf race, he's really come back to work well. I caught I think it was the May 22nd work on XBTV, and he looked even better than he did working with Muth. So I think there's something there. I'm not sure why Baffert ran him a mile and eighth on a turf. I guess the American Pharaoh. But, you know, I think he's worth a throw in also. And then Sully on the outside prepping in that non-winners of one. I think he's worth a throw in also. Whether you want to use the first two as A's and then Sully and Tour Player as B's, or just throw them on it all in as A's, I'm not sure how I'll play that. But those are the four I want to use, Mike.
Yeah, I thought it was a tough race. I agree on Eagle's Flight. And anytime you have that sort of bloodline there, and we know what kind of horse the Flightline was, that's pretty much an automatic use. And I'm sure the board will be reflective of that. I do understand the six, the tour player. It seems like Kimura's riding pretty well for Baffert. I mean, he has 3 wins and 7 starts there. So the fact that the horse got on the grass, that's a little concerning to me. But the American Pharoahs have done well in the grass, and maybe he was just trying to go long with that horse. Shortens back up to 6. So I think that that's an interesting angle. I'd probably be against the 8, only because I know he looks fast, but just horses that burn money tend to not be ones that I'm interested in. They just seem to find ways to lose when they should win. So, but I do understand the case for the 10, Sully. The fact that this horse has had 1 start at 2, 1 at 3, now 1 at 4, and somehow they show up in that numbers of 1X there. Did they really need a race that bad? They couldn't find a maiden race for this horse. So probably back where he belongs. I would probably be 2, 6, 10 there to start that pick 4. Okay, let's move on to the 9th race, and it's a mount and eighth, Gamely, Grade 1, going a mount and eighth on the grass, and I thought this was a really nice race. Where'd you end up here?
I think Ruby Nell's going to be a handful here. I mean, she looks loose to me, and, you know, when she's loose at Santa Anita, she wins, and I think it might be as simple as that. She was freshened a little bit. You know, I don't think anybody can run with her early. I would use her as my lone A. And then I really like the race from Olivia Maralda for Will Walden, second time 4-year-old. That race at Keeneland was a good one. She got in a little trouble at the top of the stretch. Sacred Wish came back and crushed last week at BAQ. And, you know, so I think this horse is going to take a step forward second time as a 4-year-old. She would be my lone B. And you know, I guess we have to mention Anna Sett. You know, she's been drumming on California fillies. This is her first time as a 4-year-old. That means first time first time out as a 4-year-old. You know, she did take on older in the Rodeo Drive. Second to Diddy is no embarrassment, of course. I think if you're going to try to play against her, now's the one. And so I'm gonna leave her off, and I'm gonna play my lone A as Ruby Nell. I think she's going to be a complete handful. I'll back up with Olivia Maralda.
I like these East Coast horses that ran well in the East Coast races, shipping out west, and the fact that you know, the one was in Grade 1s, Grade 2s in Ireland and Great Britain, facing really tough horses there. You know, this horse was you know, in the 1,000 guineas last year. Yes. And yes, facing, you know, really tough horses, showed up at Keeneland. Now the figure's not huge, 81 there, but you know, acclimated pretty well. Now ships out for a Grade 1. You drop Pratt. I do think that horse is extremely live in this race, and I think I would use very prominently. The other ones seem to, you know, they're mostly California horses that are facing each other and sort of taking turns beating each other. Horses like you said, Anna Sett sort of likes to win out here. Linda's Gift has won 3 straight out here. Another horse that, though, I thought could be a long shot that's interesting is the 9, is another horse that's shipping west, Forever After All. And this is Brendan Walsh. This horse has one race on the turf so far. Now, didn't really disgrace. You know, raced on the 3rd of May at Churchill and was only beaten 2 lengths and had some trouble in that start. So the prior lines at Turfway, I think, fit. The fact that they're shipping here, I think, is very interesting. So maybe can't win the race, but you see 7 shares there and 14 lifetime starts. This horse finds a way to hit the board. 15-1 morning line, I thought, would be interesting. So I would be heavy on the 1 and then use some 9s for backups there in the Gamely. Race number 10, we're going a mile and a quarter here. Hollywood Gold Cup. So not Hollywood Park anymore. I'm not sure how much Hollywood Park you were exposed to back in the day, Justin. But I used to love to play Hollywood's Friday nights cards. They used to start at 10 Eastern. And my brother and I used to really be into that when I was younger. But the stakes carry over, and they're going a mile and a quarter. I don't think it's a stellar group. Where did you find here?
Yeah, just to touch on your point about Hollywood Park, brings me back to my bachelor days when I was living on my own. I would take a little nap, get a coffee, and start handicapping the Hollywood Park card, or I'd go out with some of my friends at happy hour and then come home and play the Hollywood Park card. Those are good memories, man. I miss those days. So I'm all in on Subsanador here. Privately purchased, moved over to the Mandela Barn. Frat gets back aboard. You know, this horse had so much steam on that opening day at Santa Anita on December 26th. Bet this horse like he couldn't lose. Didn't run very well. Had a little bit of trouble in there. And then, you know, Sadler brought him right back in the Santa Anita handicap and almost went gate to wire after being hounded early. Training really great for this. In fact, I loved what I saw in that May 20th work. And then, you know, you can tell Mandela's serious. I mean, we worked him a mile on May 12th. We worked him 7 furlongs on May 4th. He worked him 6 furlongs on April 26th. So, you know, in great hands, really talented horse. I think this horse is set for his best. I love that Mandela brings him back in the spot. I think he's a true mile and a quarter horse, and I'll be lone A to this horse in here. And then I would just probably, I don't love Judge Miller. I thought that if he was going to win that race, I thought he had every chance to win that race, I should say. I think that Reincarnate is the other horse that I want to use in here. You know, coming shipping back from Oaklawn, running against Skippy Longstocking, and, you know, didn't disgrace himself in there. But I think this horse is set for much better. Gets the rail, may find himself on the lead. Either that, or he's going to tuck in right behind and sit a good trip. So in the Gold Cup, I'm 6. And then 1.
I understand the 6 perfectly. And the fact that this horse went a mile and a quarter and stretched out there and raced really well, I mean, just barely got beat. It was somehow 22-1 in that race. But, those prior lines down in Argentina show that this horse has class and has plenty of ability. I mean, has some huge blowout wins there. And you're right, had a ton of buzz. I do think when Sadler had this horse, he was on Steve Bick's show and kind of shouted out this horse as a horse that had a ton of talent. So, okay. That might have had something to do with the fact that the horse was bet. And yeah, so now, you know, like you said, changed hands, comes off that mile and a quarter race where it raced really well. I think that he's the horse to beat. And horses like Judge Miller that lose at 1-9, especially getting off Lasix, those aren't horses that I'm all that interested in. And I do think you have to try to beat that horse in these spots. And the only other horse, I mean, I thought Mr. Fisk raced pretty well in that Californian. But again, you know, that was a 4-horse race. So yep. Those short fields and, just horses like that, it's really difficult to gauge how good they really are whenever you're coming out of short fields and where the favorite didn't fire type of thing. So I would agree. I would be lone A on the 6 there and kind of let that ride.
Yeah. So some agreement from us. I think, you know, I think he's, and I think you'll probably get 5-2 on him, with the 2 Bafferts in there. And man, I think he's primed for his best in the Gold Cup.
Well, that brings us to the Nightcap. And this is a nice race here. Grade 1, Shoemaker Mile, obviously a staple for the Memorial Day cards on Santa Anita. And, they show up in the last race here. And so you complete your pick 5s, your pick 6s, everything, even that the all-turf pick 3. So there's a lot of great wagering on Memorial Day there. Where were you at the finish?
Check the scratches today. I couldn't find the scratches yet, but maybe we can before the end of the show figure out if he's going to be in today or if he's going to be in tomorrow, Memorial Day. So, whether he's in or not, it just looks like the pace has got to heat up in here. And that leads me to the 11 Easter. You know, I think in his last race, he ran a better race than DeJore. Broke slow and he got in a little bit of trouble on the backside. Du jour got the rail trip that day. I think he's going to just tuck in, you know, especially if they stretch him out early, which often happens with you know, these races loaded with speed. And this one, I can't see how it doesn't heat up.
Air Force Red is out, just letting you know, okay. Out today, so probably in tomorrow.
Okay, got it. So that just injects a little more pace into the mix. And, you know, so I don't see any way this pace doesn't heat up. I think Easter will just, you know, let them stretch out. He'll probably find himself in last early. And I think he's got a wicked turn of foot, and I think he'll mow him down late. So I'm lone A to Easter. And then, you know, I don't know, I'm pretty boring in this race, Mike. I think Du jour's the other one. You know, I think he's a proven grade one horse. And he's going to get the right trip with Pratt down on the inside. He should find himself on the rail or in the two path. And you know, he's got a wicked turn of foot also. So I'm 211 in this race, and that probably does it for me. The Wesley Ward horses, I don't know if they're coming out. They both worked at Keeneland pretty recently, so I don't know if that means, you know, sometimes he'll just enter horses and then scratch them both, or scratch one of them. But I don't know if either of them are going to make the trip. But we'll see. If Dominican Pioneer does scratch, you know, that makes Air Force Red a little bit interesting. If he can rate right off of Goliad, which, you know, is going to be, that horse is going to be on the lead. So we'll see. The pace scenario could change a little bit based on what Wesley Ward does, but I'm lone A to Easter here.
I understand Easter a lot. The horse that I'm interested though is the 9, Johans. That race on April 4th, and I think we did a pod for these races that day, and that horse was very well meant and just blew by at the top of the stretch and really never looked a loser. Now, I did get a little bit of a setup in the race. I mean, it was a hot pace, 44-4, but I would expect a hot pace in here too. There's plenty of speed, and that grow up from 3 to 4, this horse looked really good there, really improved his figure, went to a 98. Well, what if there's another improvement there? And I just think that there's lots of upside with this horse. Some of these other ones, we know what they are. And, you know what Du jour is, and he probably is good enough to win this race. I mean, he certainly has the two top figures in the race and was able to win that grade one kill road last time. And he's going to get his trip also. So I think he absolutely needs to be used. And I understand Easter also. He is another one that's going to be off a hot pace, has raced very well at this racetrack. And, you know, has the class to beat the horses. I do think that it probably lies in the favorites in this race, just because it's just the way the race sets up. But I would be heavy on the 9, and then I would use the 2 and 11 as backups there. So, all right, Justin, any final thoughts? I mean, it's a little bit of a shorter pod, but, you know, it's a holiday weekend. We did a show for today, so if you guys are on Plus, catch that show for our Plus show for the Sunday picks. Any final thoughts for Memorial Day?
Well, I would just say, and I talked with PTF on a pod not too long ago about this. You know, you find yourself being skinny in these races in the pick four or even the pick five. You know, you can still play them. You can still make money. You know, play a $4 pick four ticket if you're skinny in most of the legs. You know, I will probably play a ticket where I'm, you know, 4 by 1 by 1 by 1. And then I'll play a little backup ticket, but that first ticket I'll play for, I'll play multiple times. And so, you know, even if you are short, even if, you know, we're not going to have an even money favorite here, I don't think, or a 6-5 favorite, you know, so there's still money to be made if you have conviction with, you know, a favorite or two in the pick four sequence, like we may find ourselves having tomorrow, Memorial Day.
Agree totally. And when you're making out tickets, you know, and like you said, you can play backups and things like that for a smaller multiple. But if you know your opinions are right and you can get some of these races right, even though the horses are bet, you could certainly make scores that way also. So I think that's a fantastic way to look at it. And that's great advice. We appreciate you guys listening. This has been a production of In the Money Media. Our president is Peter Thomas Fornatale. We'll see you guys next time. Happy Memorial Day weekend.
See you, everybody.